Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by...
Good evening. You know who it's hosted by. It is I. This is Duchess. And it has been a very blustery, cold week. I was getting ready to say 2 weeks, but it's only been a week of freezing cold here in Virginia, and I know how it must be up north. As I'm watching the board light up, I'm seeing all the cold northern people popping up on the line. And I think we have an interesting show for you today. We have a lot to talk about, a lot of different things. So when I put Favaya on the air, we may be bouncing all over the place because there's just so much to talk about that is so exciting. Lots and lots and lots of stuff. I was listening to The View the other day, and I got wind of that little girl who plays on Black-ish. What's her name? Yara Shahidi. That little girl is awesome. Now, those are the rainbow children we got to look forward to, those rainbows and indigos coming up now during this generation's period. We're going to have a powerhouse of young people coming forth to make changes on the face of this earth. Before I get into any of that, let me bring Fabio. Let me open up her mic. I know she's sitting there waiting and chewing her fingernails and stuff, because I know she's got a lot to say, and I have a lot that I want her to say to you about what she's going through this past week. Boy, let me see. Here's her mic. It's open. Favaya.
Hello, Duchess. How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm fine. And you know what? I was sitting here. I had one finger in my mouth chewing on the edge of the fingernail. I said, how you know? What's going on over there? Anyway.
So go ahead. I want you to tell people about them little new babies you got running around up there in the farm, in the forest, up there in the cold.
Look,
what's been going through this week?
Oh, well, first of all, we had four female goats that were ready to kid. That's what they call them when they're about to have birth, you know, give birth to babies. And so two of them gave birth just fine. One had two and one had three. And three is unusual. Usually they have twins. But we had two goats that were, they were freshened. That's what they call it when they are impregnated. They were freshened too young because we couldn't keep the buck goats away, and they just kept breaking out all of the fences and everything that we put up. I was like, these goats, they say animals are stupid, but they are pretty intelligent. They kept outsmarting us. And the thing about it is that they would wait to see what part of the fence we were repairing when we had seen them going out. They would wait, and then when we would go into the house, I caught one because my partner, Rachel, went into the house, and they didn't think that I was still out in the yard. They just heard the door open and close and our footsteps and everything, so I was out in the part of the yard where they couldn't see me. So the goat came through the fence from the other side, walked around, came out like he was breaking out, and broke back in to make sure they could come in and go when they wanted to. I said, this is a trip. But anyway, I say all of that to say that the two youngest little female goats were bred too early.
Are
and
they okay?
They're fine. The one, her calf, usually what happens is their very first baby, they only have one, and then after that they have two. So the first baby is too big. So the one calf, she kept trying to give birth and trying to give birth, but the baby was too big to fit through her birth canal. And so we had to call the vet, and she had to have a cesarean section. And so her baby came out fine. She came out fine. But because she was woozy and everything, and she didn't know who her baby was, she bonded with another baby, and she refuses her baby. So we're taking care of that one.
Oh.
And And then the other second one, which was her sister, she was bred too soon, but she had her baby and was able, the baby was able, was small enough to come through. So we had ended up with 7 bucks and 1 female goat kid. And it's amazing. You watch these animals and everything that they do, and you understand how connected we all are to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people like to not think that we're animals, but this, the one baby who had the one young female who had the only female child, we took both of her and her sister's babies to bottle feed them, because we weren't sure how they would process, you know, being mothers so young. But the one, she cried all night for her baby. And then when we put the baby back in, she was like, oh, I love you. She just, like, kissed her up and hugged her. And the baby couldn't find the teat. And she was like, it's right over here. She took her little hoof and pushed her in the right direction. I was like, this is crazy. Yeah, it was really just a really wonderful kind of thing. And so, you know, you get to see life in action. And the vet who came out to do the C-section, she's like, listen, when you have this, when they're bred too soon, you can't call us, and you can call us and we can give them a shot, like the day after pill, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it will keep them from, you know, the from taking, so they won't, you know, start be pregnant. Yeah. And so she went through her whole spiel. She was, like, trying to convince us. And I'm like, you don't have to convince us. But my daughter was like, isn't that so deep that people would be so pro-life, that they would be pro-life to their goats? And I was like, wow, I didn't think about it that way. You know, because she was like, it's not bad for them. You know, this happens and they could possibly die and all this other stuff. And I was like, what? No, I wish we would have known, because she would have gotten they both would have gotten a shot. So what is happening now is that we have a baby kid that we have to get up with every 2 hours, just like a regular baby, feed him. And put him back in with the goats, come and get him, make sure he's warm enough, feed him, you know. It's a process, so.
I hear you. And you want me to move up there. You have to be crazy, right?
Look, you'll have fun. It will never be a dull moment. You'll never have a dull moment. You'll be like, oh, my God, what is going on? You'll never
I probably
have a dull moment.
Will, but not in this cold. Do they have babies in the spring and summer?
Yes,
that'll be my time to come up there.
Right, stay freshen twice a year. That's it. We were trying not to have it happen over the fall, because we didn't want to have winter babies and have them in the house. We have them freshen in the spring, and then they have them in the summer, and they can all be outside. We don't have to worry about it. So we have to find a little place to put them up so they can be warm and yada yada.
Right. Well, I know you and I were reading an article that we were supposed to discuss tonight, but that's old stuff.
Yes.
I don't want to discuss that. I do want to go back. We'll discuss it in a little bit, because I want to finish what we were doing last week.
Okay.
We didn't get halfway through this spiritual awakening movement that we were discussing last week.
Right.
And now, for a recap, we talked about if citizens who work at banks walked out and quit their job, then the banks wouldn't be able to make any money or hold any money. They didn't have nobody work for them,
That's right.
And that would be good for the economy.
That's
we
right.
also spoke about the fact that we spoke about the spiritual revolution of these basketball players, football players, and baseball players making all of this money, buying tickets to see them play. And we got teachers who teach our children that, like you said last week, you walked in and a teacher was crying. What are we going to do? You know, I mean, they have written out in the new tax code, they have taken out the fact that these teachers who buy supplies for their classrooms, they can't write that off their taxes anymore.
Right.
That's sad. I mean, that's like a self-employed person. You saying that I can't I no longer have this benefit of writing this expense off
right.
of my taxes.
Right.
The other thing that we mentioned last week was owning our own land. Like you
That's
have
right.
your own land, buying your own land,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
raising your own crops and
mm-hmm.
raising your own animals. And I was telling my daughter, she called me last night to tell me that she had a friend visiting with her, and her friend cooked some curried goat. I said,
mm-hmm.
really? I said, well, I got a friend that's going to send me all kinds of goat meat down here,
that's
and
right.
I'll make my own curried goat, you know? So it's, oh, but then I spoke to my mother, and she said, make sure that 100-pounder that you're getting ready to do whatever you're going to do to ain't all full of fat. She said,
no.
Goat is fat.
No, no. This is a spring kid. He's not quite
okay.
a girl. He ain't a goat yet. So he's been eating. First he had his mother's sweet milk. And then he was eating nothing but the spring hay and everything all over the summer and the spring into the fall. We just started giving them hay that someone else cut.
That's
they were
okay.
eating.
Don't,
they were eating nettle and
burdock.
Don't.
No, because if you keep on talking about them, I'm not going to want to eat them.
Okay, all right,
so
all right.
Stop talking about
it. Okay, all right.
The other thing that was mentioned at the last show was the fact that these movie makers,
mm-hmm.
if people would stop going to see all these thoughtless sex movies and violent
mm-hmm.
movies, then
mm-hmm.
that would make the producers and the directors make better choices in the type
mm-hmm.
of quality movies that they put forth
mm-hmm.
on
mm-hmm.
the screen. So
mm-hmm.
we've got to do our own spiritual revolution in order for us to implement a change on the face
mm-hmm.
of this earth, because it's not
mm-hmm.
going to happen until the people make a move in that direction, you know, and
mm-hmm.
you don't have too many people wanting to make a move in those directions.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, we've been trained to be about immediate gratification,
mm-hmm.
and spiritual evolution isn't about immediate gratification. Nothing that you do that is going to fruit for the long term is about immediate gratification, and that's why all of these movies with sex, violence, and drugs and rock and roll, like they used to say, are being produced, because that's about immediate gratification. It's an addiction.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
And people don't really look at it that way, you know. And so we have really altered. They were talking about how the attention span has moved since 2001 from something like 30 seconds down to 6.5 seconds. And it keeps shrinking. That's because we rewired our minds to
mm-hmm.
only look for immediate gratification. You know,
right. It's like a drug.
It is. It absolutely is. Anger, rage is a drug. You know,
mm-hmm.
people just don't look at these things. Anything that alters your mind from a natural, peaceful state of being is a addiction, is a drug,
absolutely.
You know.
Right.
But wait. Before we move on, there was something you said about them changing the tax codes for teachers.
Yeah.
What I want us to remember is back in the day when they invented the state-backed lottery, I was around enough to remember that they said that all of the money that was generated through the lottery was supposed to go for education. That was the initial impetus for what it was that they used, you know, to establish the lottery. That's what they sold everybody. But they saw how much money they made, and then they routed that money into other coffers to take care of other things. So I was like,
mm-hmm.
nah, see, okay. But anyway, I just wanted to say
that's
that
what they do.
That.
But that's what they do. You know, they sell something to the people, and the
mm-hmm.
people think that, you know, this is a good thing. And
mm-hmm.
the next thing you know, it's like you say, we forget.
Right.
We forget.
Right.
You know, now you
right.
got a bunch of people going out there buying this Powerball. Powerball was up to
mm-hmm.
$50 million. Okay, one person won that.
Oh, wow.
I think it was Powerball. $250 million The more money's in Powerball, the more people run out there and buy a ticket.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
okay, the
mm-hmm.
more money goes into Powerball.
Right.
And
good.
Then all of that money is not going to go to that person. They've won it,
right.
but they're not going to get that money all at one time.
Right.
That
no,
money's
going to
sit and make more money.
Right. It's a form of taxation. It's a form of taxation. And it's really a poverty tax because the people who are buying the most lottery tickets percentage-wise are people who are impoverished.
Right.
And, you know, they've already done this statistical analysis that shows that as your education and your income tax bracket increases to a certain level, the less likely you are to buy a lottery ticket.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah,
so
like they said, the less likely you are to buy a lottery ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's talk about this gas. Okay.
Okay.
The
mm-hmm.
other thing that this gentleman said in his spiritual revolution movement is that we got to start carpooling.
Mm-hmm.
We got to stop stealing Mother Earth's natural resources,
mm-hmm.
you know, to put into
mm-hmm.
these vehicles. And
mm-hmm.
I agree with him when he says, and I thought this was really cool, he said that these highways where they have
mm-hmm.
the HO, high occupancy vehicle, more
mm-hmm.
than one person in the car, you got
right.
this lane for high. He said if you got a 6-lane highway, then 4 of those lanes should be for high occupancy vehicles, and maybe 2 lanes be for the people who want to drive just them in their car.
That's right. That's right.
You
That's
get
right.
1 lane, you know?
Right. Well, how many cars can you use, really? I mean,
absolutely. You know, and you got all of these, I look at I come home at night, I mean, and you got a lot of people on the road driving.
Yep.
You know? But that
mm-hmm.
takes a lot of gas. That
mm-hmm.
also takes a lot of fumes going up into the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That also
mm-hmm.
contributes to global warming. Now, I got to
yep.
say this to you. This is so funny. I heard somebody sound like our president the other night.
Uh-oh. Yeah,
I was
me too.
In UPS. I was walking outside. It was like 13 degrees outside. And the guy in front of me, he was all bundled up because you got to get to our cars. And you're walking outside the building, and he just a grumbling. He says, yeah, look at this. It's freezing out here. So much for global warming. So when is it going to warm up? They all up in arms about global. And I started laughing. I said, don't you know this is the result of global warming?
Mm-hmm.
I said,
exactly.
The seasons are changing and wrecking havoc all over the place.
That's
I said, pretty
right.
soon down here in Virginia, we're going to have winters like they have in Russia. Keep
That's
it
right.
up. You know, when
mm-hmm.
you know it's snow in Florida. Okay?
Right.
This is a result of global.
Right.
And I never thought of that.
Right.
You know how many
right.
people haven't thought of that? They think that global warming means the whole earth, the whole place is going to warm up. They think
That's
we're going to have to walk around all over the United States of America like we're living in tropics.
Look, that's why they need to really rename these things. Such a way that they're educating people as they do it. It needs to really be referred to more honestly as climate change.
Yes.
Associated with global warming. Because, look, 30 years ago, let's see. Yeah,
How old
30
are you
years
about
ago.
30 years ago. Go ahead.
Right. No, seriously. When I first went, I may have been even younger than that. It may have been 30 plus years ago. When I first went to college, one of my biology professors made us learn about global warming as a part of our educational component. Now, it's not biology, but he said it affects the biology of people and animals and the environment. So we had to learn about global warming. He said in 50 years, you're going to see a shift in weather patterns if we don't correct what we're doing now to such a degree that all of the weather is that for growing crops is going to shift from the south up to the north. And this is going to create an issue because the soil in the south has much more beneficial minerals, and it's created basically to be able to sustain crops through many iterations of rotations. For instance, string beans, it takes 40 days for them to grow. But down south, so up north, you may be able to get two iterations of growing string beans, 40 days, and then a new crop comes in 40 days, and then you get two crops of string beans. But down south, because of the weather patterns and how the soil is designed, you may be able to get six or seven, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to grow more food. He said, but what's happening is that the proper climate to be able to have these number of iterations of growing food is moving from the south to the north, which means you're going to be experiencing failures in crops and food shortages and all of these other things, right? And I was like, this man talking about what? You know, I'm 20. You see what I'm saying? That
mm-hmm.
you, when you're that young, you can't see 50 years away from you, right?
Right.
But now it is, here I am at the 30-year mark of all of this, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is what he has been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The South is experiencing these winters where they're killing off citrus, tomato crops, you know, all of these crops that we have grown attached to and thinking that they will be ever plentiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's changing. And now we have rockier soils up here in the north that doesn't allow you to kind of grow the kind of food as productively as you do down in the south, you know. And I was like, oh, ooh, this is when we need to become local. He's talking about owning your own farms. You need to do what they used to do back in the Depression. My mother said they had something called, I can't think of the name of it now, but there was this plot of land that they would give you in front of your house
mm-hmm.
so that you could grow food enough for your family, for a family of four, on that little piece of plot of land. And you're going to have to go back to that. People are going to have to go back to supplementing themselves.
Yeah, but, you know, the sad part of it is it comes down to this next thing that he's talking about when he talks about how we need to have sustainably and building sustainably and research green building instead of
yeah.
building square boxes, using all the trees, these fire. I've seen fire, and you see more
right.
fires in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're using all of this. They're trying to use their fireplaces, and they don't
right.
have. They're not the smoke detectors on work. And
right.
what he's saying is, we need to start building structures
right.
that aren't fire hazard. You know,
right.
these with you
right.
you know using energy efficient.
Right.
Materials with the
right.
changing seasons,
right.
and we need to stop killing all the trees. I
right.
noticed in my last few years living here in Leesburg, there used to be a road that I traveled on. It was really, really funny because I remember one night I was driving. It was so tree-lined. It was tree-lined,
mm-hmm.
and you know I saw these statues of these animals along the side of the road, and I was like, what
yeah.
the heck, all of these animals? And then one of them moved, and it blew my mind. It was the first time I ever seen a live
deer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, and it was like 50 of them down
right.
along the highway. The trees
mm-hmm.
are all gone. And people want to know why we have cold red breathing in the summertime.
Right.
You don't have any trees to help you with the
right.
oxygen.
Right.
You know,
right.
so there's a lot of things that people need to be aware of, that part of our spiritual growth is for us to connect with the mother.
Right.
You know, with the father, with
right.
the earth, with
right.
the sky, with the
right.
seasons.
People don't know that we're.
Hmm?
I'm sorry. Yeah, absolutely. I was saying people don't really recognize that what is going on here is spiritual warfare.
That's what's going on.
And, you know, they think when you say something like that, that you are talking about some sort of kind of far out thing away from you. But you have to understand that spiritual warfare is not just about the spiritual energy that you come here with. It is about that primarily, but it is about the essence in which you live, the spirit of how you live, the spirit of how you relate, the spirit in how you connect, the spirit in how you exist, you know, and the connection to life around us, because everything has a spiritual essence, is what keeps us humble and grounded and really understanding what our place is. We're not put here to dominate over anything. People are always trying to control the weather, always trying to control their environment. That's not what this. We were put here to learn how to live in harmony with, you know, so that we don't destabilize, you know, these different systems that need to exist in order for us to exist. We are so freaking arrogant. We believe that, you know, climate change and all this other stuff is about Mother Earth. Really what it gets down to is about us being able to live here. Because if you blast Mother Earth out of the sky and she becomes nothing but a dark rock, Mother Earth will still be here, but we will not.
No, we won't.
You know, so we got to get to the understanding that this is about saving ourselves, okay? And if you want to really be selfish, look at it that way. What can I do to save myself? Okay, well, I'm not going to drive so many times a week, or, you know, so that I'll be able to breathe later. My kids will be able to breathe later. You know, the trees, we're not going to cut down so many trees so we will be able to breathe later. You know, but people are just so short-sighted. It's frustrating. It really
right.
is.
Right. And self-serving.
Yep. They think they're God.
Absolutely.
That's what we're dealing with in the system that we have now with this presidency. They believe that they're God, that they're the master, you know. And it's really sad. Anyway, I'm preaching.
Yeah, well,
okay.
That goes into your little what is it, Jose? He did a second part two to the article that you read. You read part one.
You had me read that we were supposed to talk about. Okay.
He did a
okay.
part two, and he was talking about our essence, like you saying. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, because our essence, our soul, we come here at even our souls come here at different age levels. You know, if you want to get into numbers, age levels. So that's why you see a brand new, you see a little child walking around and say, oh, my God, look at that baby. It's an old soul. Look at it. Oh, my goodness. And look at the eyes. Look so wise. Because that is an old soul, literally, you know. So when you start talking about old soul and baby souls, and you start talking about souls who are like, you know, teenagers, that kind
right.
of thing,
right.
they come in stages also. So you
right.
know what? When you see 45 having a tantrum, you know this is a baby soul. This is a baby soul, and it's not so much that he's bad. It's just
right.
that he's spoiled, and he wants
right.
to do things his way because he hasn't been around as long as an old soul.
Right.
Who has,
right.
But then you have our old soul sitting around like, well, what am I going to do? Well, what should we do? Well, I'm not going to vote because there's nobody for me to vote for that I really, you know, so you can't have the old soul just sitting back watching it all fall apart
right,
now.
Right, right, right.
We
got to
do
something. Abdicating their position, abdicating their position
right,
and their
know,
responsibilities.
Because,
they're like, just go on out there and see what happens.
Yeah, I know.
And come tell me about it later. Go on out there and see what happens.
Ask them old souls. It's like they're just going to sit there and do their thing. Just lay back. No, you can't do that. That's not something that you do. You know. So when we we just talked about basically what he was saying. He's saying you must be aware of the signs of the times. You've already covered that, including the climate change that is causing disaster of all kinds. Because if you are aware that a global shift is going to happen and that the Earth's divine essence is about to end the rebellion against the Creator's divine ordinance, you must choose sides.
That's right.
Side are you going to be on? By doing so and having a relationship one-on-one with your Creator, you will be surprised of the peace you will have and the road of safety you will lead down, as opposed to staying in your dreary job or imprisoning yourself in circumstances you do not really want to be in life, as your guides to lead you to elders who are true leaders. Okay? It didn't say as. It said ask. Ask your guides, because we're surrounded by them. We got the guides all over the place, you know. I mean, some of you choose the angels as your guides. Some of you choose your ancestors as your guides. You know, some of you just want to choose your Creator, you know, or your saints as your guides. Ask. Ask. It doesn't matter what name you call your guides. They're going to answer you, because that is the guides. That's what you call them. They recognize you. Ask. What should I do? Okay? And he goes on to say they will be concerned about the welfare of others and put your welfare before their own. Ask your guides. They will be loving, kind, and generous. And that is how you will know who they are. Because when you ask, you get the answer. You know? And it's something that you know came from your guides. I don't care what it looks like. You know where it came from.
Right.
So he also says you will know when you find people who have joined in the spiritual revolution movement and have come out of the fallen system. You will know when you see them. You'll know. In this way, all of you will be the divine mind together.
That's right.
The Creator will say the same thing to you that the Creator will say to the elder, and vice versa. The elder is there to confirm the voice of the Creator inside you concerning any matters. The Creator will talk to you first. Often, you may not want to hear the voice inside of you. And the elder then has the responsibility before the Creator to try and guide you in the Creator's direction for you. But a true leader can use no coercion to force you to go in the Creator's direction. I had a young person I was talking to. When I say young, younger than me, you know. But not a teenager, not a kid. We talking, when I say young person, I'm talking in their 30s, 40s, young person I was speaking to. And I was telling them that I knew someone that she needed some energy work. She needed some work to cleanse herself. You know, sometimes we just don't know that we're carrying around a lot of gunk that we done sucked up from other people's negativity. And I had gone up to Middleburg yesterday to get some spiritual product for one of my coworkers, and I was saying to them up there, "Do you have anybody that does energy work?" And they said, "Well, yeah, we have a lady. She comes in tomorrow, and she'll be here between 12 and 4." And I said, "Well, I know a young person, a woman that could really use some energy work." Now, you know, it's phenomenal. It's really weird. I can tell her all the things in the world that I would suggest that she do to cleanse herself. But, you know, if I ain't charging her $75, $100, she figured that my stuff ain't real. So
that's
I'm talking
right.
to the lady at the shop. So I'm saying, so how much does this woman charge? She said $75. I said, well, I'll talk to her and see if she wants to come up here. But she might not want to do that, you know, the $75, because it's amazing. You have these people. They will spend $75 to put these false eyelashes on their eyes.
Right.
They will spend another $50 to do their nails.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they will spend like $100 and some to get their hair done. But they won't spend a penny to cleanse their soul. Okay?
Because it's not tangible. They
can't hold it. They can't see it.
They can't feel it. They can't hear it. It's not tangible to them. That's, in a lot of instances, that's what makes something real for them. I had this situation. We were talking about part of my week as well. We had Kwanzaa celebrations going on through the art center that I sit on the board for. And we had the last day of Kwanzaa, the seventh day, which is the faith is the principle. Imani, they say.
Yeah.
In Swahili. So in that, I'm telling you this story about the mother's voice. You're talking about us listening to spirit within and not being coerced and what have you. We like to call it the mother's voice. You know, it's the voice when you get ready to go outside. It's like, you better take your umbrella because it's about to rain. It's your mother's voice. Okay. So, but it's really spirit, okay, your connection to heaven.
I know.
And so here we are having this conversation, and there were seven of us who were on this panel, and we had to talk about what faith meant for each of us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And earlier, my partner was also on the panel because she's the executive director of this organization, and I was there in my priest capacity, although she's a priest too, but we were kind of talking about things with each other, and we were talking about the tie between faith and love, right?
Okay.
That they're actually really kind of the same thing. And then we were talking about stories that kind of illustrate this thing, like the story between David and Goliath, where David is a farmer, and he knows nothing about fighting war, but he goes up against one of the greatest, largest, giant warriors, Goliath, and really all he has is his slingshot and these three stones. And what is on the stones, what makes those stones fly true, is not only just his prayer, but his faith and his love for God. Okay? That's what causes the stones to strike true, right? And kill Goliath, slay him. So we're on the panel and we're talking about, each of us are talking about these stories that illustrate faith. And none of us really kind of talk about this thing, you know. Neither of us, Rachel or myself, talk about this thing, about love and faith and the tie and all this other stuff and how we see these things as being spiritual entities. And really, in order to have certain things, all of these spirits have to, these spiritual forces have to kind of align to produce this one thing, right, to give birth to this one thing, right? So anyway, we're there, and each of us are talking about faith and what it means to us and so forth and so on. And here is this gentleman. His name is Minister, he's Muslim, Minister Dawood Muhammad, begins to speak, right? And what does he say? He talks about the connection between faith and love, right? Now, we done had this conversation earlier that day, and he begins to talk about what it means and all this other stuff. And then he tells us how, and he's kind of talking to us about who he is and how he's gotten to this point, to this place of being on the panel, because we had to do that. And he's in that process, he's telling us about his name. He was given the name Dawood. That was not his birth name, because he's a little guy, and he had to go up against this other guy that they considered a Goliath. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And Dawood actually means David. It translates into the English version of David because he had a David and Goliath situation and on and on and on. And so I'm saying all of this to talk about how when things are in divine prophecy in divine order and need to be expressed, it doesn't care where it's going to come from.
Right.
It doesn't care who it belongs to. It belongs to whoever it is gives voice to it, you see. But you know you're in alignment when you're talking about paying for things for your soul and your spirit. You know you're in alignment. These become your validations and become your the things that your senses can connect to talk to you about spirit, you know, because you can't hold on to it. God does not reach us by clapping and opening the sky. God reaches us through people, right?
Right.
Spirit reaches us through people. So here you go and you speak to her. Spirit is reaching her through a person, right? But she doesn't understand it. So she's missing the true essence of what is unfolding in front of her. Okay? Because we are physical-based entities, but spirit has reached through you to reach her in your physical-based entity, right? And so all we can do in those instances is pray. Pray for that person.
Right.
Pray that the spirit opens them up enough to understand. You're right. We will
she was open.
Oh,
I took her out there today. As a matter of fact, I was talking to some of the young women in the shop because they work in the shop, and they do natural herbal essence body care, skin care.
Mm-hmm.
Have their own skin care line. Two young sisters, and when I was telling them basically what I just told you, and you know, one of them, the youngest one, looked at me and said, "Well, you know what that means?" And I said, "No, you. I know you're going to tell me that means you're a bridge builder."
Oh,
so I was bridge.
And the
fact that she said that to me, because my mother used to say similar types of things to me. I used to say, "Well, how come I can't so and so, and I did this and that, but I don't reap the rewards." And she said, "You're like Johnny Appleseed. You're meant to plant
seeds.
You're not to stay there and watch the tree grow. You know. So you just got to. That's your purpose as we're moving into the." Thinking about how to make a purpose list, I need to redo mine. That's for sure. You know, but
you're funny.
Yeah, I know. Everybody tells me I don't be feeling funny when I'm saying my stuff. I be very serious when I'm telling you that I need to redo a purpose list. Okay.
I know.
And we're gonna do a little bit of a purpose stuff now because this. Spiritual revolution is not going to end. We're going to be talking a little bit about this at the next show as well, I am sure, because I have an article that was written by Russell Brand. Now, Russell Brand, when you see this actor, you think he's really an idiot, because you know Russell Brand?
I'm trying to picture
Russell
him.
Brand is a trip. Russell Brand, okay. He has taken every drug known to man on the face of this earth. This man is known for all the trips that he's been on, all the psychedelic trips. He probably ate mushrooms. The man is like a druggie from way back, but now he's abstained. He's gone into recovery. And, of course, now Russell Brand feels he's seen the light. Like most of us who get into recovery or find religion, we feel like we found the light, and he wants to share some stuff. But his stuff that he wants to share... it's so cool. It's so spiritual. He's an English comedian, actor, author. He was a radio host and activist. You know, he was riddled with promiscuity. But don't you understand, to me, a lot of people who find themselves after they abstain and they run the gamut of, sexing with everybody and doing all this stuff, I call them the fallen angels. Mm. And when they go into recovery and discover the spirituality, it's like, Mm-hmm. You see that movie? What was that movie? Nicolas Cage played in Los Angeles. What is it called?
He was the fallen angel.
He was a fallen angel, and it was like he wanted to eat the apple. He just wanted to experience everything.
Everything.
Because he didn't realize he was, you know, he wanted to live like us, but he went crazy with it.
Yeah.
And so I call them fallen angels. You know, you have somebody out there that's an alcoholic, a drug addict. They're the fallen angels, you know? And those are the ones that we're kind of waiting to guide and waiting for them to wake up, because when they wake up, they are soldiers for the Creator, without a doubt. You may not like where they're coming from, but they're your soldiers, and they will fight tooth and nail in that belief system, because they realize something that some of you never realize, because you have never gone as far down as they have been.
Right.
Okay? You know? And so they say spirituality, they say, what did it say? Religion is for people who don't want to go to hell, but spirituality is for people who've already gone there and came back.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So that's Russell Brand. He's been there. Okay. He's come back. And he's got some good spiritual revolution thoughts, you know, that make you really want to think.
The closer you get to God, the bigger your demons.
That's
what they say. So whenever I see someone in spiritual dilemma, because that's how I see addiction, I realize that when they come, if they can come out of that, that's what makes them the warriors for God, because if they can fight those demons and come out of that, then what else will they be afraid of? They have nothing else to be afraid of. They've fought some of the greatest demons, okay?
Right.
So hence why priests, we're given medicine to help us fight demons. Because the closer we get to God, the bigger our demons. And each level we climb up, the closer we get to God, you see. And the medicine they give us, that's why we have to do a lot of work on our character, right? Because the medicine they give us elevates not just what is positive about us, but what is also a shadow about us, too. So, you know, if you had a little grain of jealousy, you know, sometimes you can be like, oh, that's cute. I wish I had that. But it's not. It's just a little bit part of your personality. When you become a priest, that little grain becomes a boulder, a huge boulder. And you have to learn how to actually deal with those things. That's why these people kind of go through these rebirthing processes and exhibit some of the same things that priests carry with them in terms of medicine, because they have had to fight these particular demons and become and have been victorious. It is not the shaman, you know, Rachel, my partner, says that in the Native American tradition at one point, shamans were thrown into the pit of snakes. And they say all shamans, and, you know, and so she's like, what people don't, they think that the shamans that come out of the pit of snakes are the ones that have not been bit, but what they don't, the poisonous snakes, okay, but what they don't understand is that the shaman is the one that has been thrown into the pit of snakes. They've been bit. They just survive.
Absolutely. They've transmuted all of that venom.
Right.
To make them
So you, as a shaman, your job is always to transform that negative energy into something positive. It's always transforming that into something, always transforming shadow into light. You got to learn how to do that. And so these, you know, drug addicts, alcoholics, what have you, when they go down and they're able to transform that darkness to you know, and you do it not by ignoring it, okay? You do it by embracing it, right? You can't run from it. You do it by looking at it, you know, examining it, you know, and deciding with intention that you're going to do something else different, you know. So, yeah,
right.
Whenever I see, I'm like, those are some of the most sensitive priest people you got walking on the face of the earth, because they're fighting, they can see the demons spiritually, and they're fighting them all the time, and they want a little downtime. Oh, I got to numb this out for a minute, right? And it becomes something else. So they got to go back in and do a different level of work. So, yeah, I like them too. When they come out, they're bad to the bone.
Yeah, they are.
You know? Mm-hmm.
You find it.
And
I'm
genuine.
For it.
And genuine. You know, they act with integrity. That's what it's going to take to save this world, to be able to act with integrity,
mm-hmm.
to be who you are to your core. You know?
Okay, I'm going to have to, I'm going to have to add a little bit of a correction here for you.
Okay. Okay.
I got the Native American medicine book, the Native
American medicine book.
Right. And Native American medicine stands to correct all of us. There's a difference between transformation and transmutation.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, this is true.
Yeah, the snake the snake transmutes.
Yes.
It's the butterfly that transforms, because the butterfly changes from different whole different look.
Yeah,
you know, it starts out as little teeny maggot looking thing, you know, a little larva, and then it changes into the caterpillar. See, the butterfly transforms, and then it goes into the cocoon, you know, and it transforms. It comes out this butterfly, whole different looking energy. Okay, now a snake transmutes, because what happens with a snake is that it changes. Nope, it gets better, but it never changes. You don't see the outward change. It just sheds the old skin. And so I went and got the book, because it describes it. It describes it beautiful. It says, the snake medicine teaches you on a personal level that you are a universal being. Through accepting all aspects of your life, you can bring about the transmutation of the fire medicine. This fire energy, when functioning on the material plane, creates passion, desire, procreation, and physical vitality. On the emotional plane, it becomes ambition, creation, resolution, and dreams. On the mental plane, it becomes intellect, power, charisma, and leadership. When this snake energy reaches the spiritual plane, it becomes wisdom, understanding, wholeness, and connection to the Great Spirit. Okay? So, you find that when you have your people who have gone into recovery after groveling to the lowest of the low, I mean, we're talking about your used-to-be former prostitutes. They had to sell themselves in order to get their drug, and grab themselves up and change their whole life and go into a spiritual awakening. They are the bomb.
Yeah,
okay?
They
ready. They have seen the lowest of the low, and they have surpassed that and brought themselves up.
Right.
So, you know, it behooves us to listen to them.
Yeah.
At least give them a little bit of respect.
Let me tell you.
Because they've come so much further than some of us could ever dream or ever realize or ever deem to go.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Some of them saved my life as a kid. I mean, I was a little bitty shy kid walking through the ghetto, a hard ghetto, too, reading books, kids coming up and picking on me. They were the ones yelling out the window, the prostitutes and we used to call them, they were alcoholics. You know, we used to call, I can't remember what we used to call them.
Alcoholics, junkies, prostitutes.
No, it was the junkies, the prostitutes, the alcoholics. But we used to call the alcoholics, we had a different name for them when I was growing up. I can't even remember them anymore. But they would be the ones that would just call out. Winos, that's it. They used to call out, all out. They would be like, leave that child alone. Leave her alone. Leave her alone. All over. I would never see them, but their voices would call out. They would be the street people that would protect me, you know, walking home. So I got a special affinity in my heart.
Me too.
You know what I mean? I do.
Too.
They took care and watched over me, watched over my family, kept other people off of me and my siblings. I got a special affinity in my heart, you know.
Right. Those are our fallen angels.
You're right.
When they lift themselves up and they find their spiritual awakening, oh, yeah, watch out, buddy. They are the fighters of the world, you know.
Fearless.
So, So anything else you want to say as we come closer to this close of the hour? It's been great. I love these conversations. It's like conversations. They're so interesting.
Nothing. I think I covered it. Whatever spirit wanted me to say, I guess it was said. You know, I had those one little things, you know, they would pop in my head. I'd be like, wait a minute, I got to say this before we move on, you know, or what have you. I just want, you know, 2008 to be a wonderful year in which we can either transform or transmutate, whichever one we need to do. To become better people.
Right, transform or transmute.
Yeah, because I can't say what people need, but that's a little prayer that I'm sending out. And there's a prayer that says, may my inner Ori not spoil my outer Ori, and may everything that I want be exactly what it is that I need. So I'm praying that for people here in the future, including myself and my family, so that we can walk strongly down the path of our destinies toward the success that we need to get accomplished this lifetime. You know?
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. That sounds great. We're going to figure out, we're going to touch on next show. We're going to do the rest of this. Russell Brand, we're going to continue with our making a purpose list, because we really got to make that list. People talk about making their New Year's
bucket
resolution.
List.
You know what?
New Year's resolution and all that. No, purpose list, people. Make a purpose list.
Right. What is your intention? What is your purpose? Who are you?
Right.
You know, who are you? What do you want to do? What are you here for?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go through some questions to ask yourself so that you can hopefully at the end of the next show know what that purpose is.
Absolutely.
Know what that
was.
Today I learned I was a bridge builder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, not that I didn't know that, but I never knew that there was a name for it.
Right.
That somebody else would give me. You know, I've heard different terms before, but it was nice to know I've transmuted into another name. You know, I'm no longer planting seeds. I've transmuted into building bridges. Come on,
that's
you know,
right.
and it's still
right.
me. I look
right.
the same,
right.
you know, but I've gotten
right.
better.
Right.
But I haven't changed.
That's right. That's why the Africans always give new mothers a different name for each child they have. So you have the name of your youngest child.
So you would start out
with, you know, say, mother, they would call you mother you know, for bio. And then they would say Mother Duchess once Duchess came along. And then they would say, and they're giving you power each and every time and talking about how you're transforming with each of these children, right? So you get the last name, you know, the name of your youngest child, you know. That's how much experience you got. How many different people you transform into with each one of these.
Well, you got
children.
My brain working. I'm going through all of my names in my head.
Right. I mean, but think about it. I mean, each child gave you something different, and you had different experiences,
and, that's the truth.
And you become a different person after each child. So
right.
they show your status and that change in the community by having people acknowledge your change by calling you the name of your youngest child. Mm-hmm.
Right. I was thinking that when I had my firstborn, well, that was the one that made me mother.
Right.
So, and then there came my secondborn, and that one I experienced the me that wanted to go into acting. I experienced putting her where she could have the drama that I didn't get a chance to do because I liked to dance when I was young. And then my thirdborn, that was the one where I went to classical music concerts. I wasn't into classical music until I got that one. You know what I'm saying? And not to say the last one, I started going to football games and stuff. Come on. You know, it's like, and so with each one, you do grow. With each one of your children, you do grow into, you know, there's a different aspect of you that comes forth.
Exactly.
Well, I thank you so much for being here with me tonight.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you for the invitation.
And I thank the audience for being out there because one of these days you're going to be here in Virginia. You're going to see the studio, these lights on this computer all lit up.
Yeah.
You're
going to
love
it. My
reds, blues, and greens, and oranges.
Wow.
And you're going to see the online, on-air timer ticking away. Saying y'all need to get off the mic now because it's time for you to close the show.
Yes.
You're going to be here. And I want to say thank you to the audience for listening to us and being with us and hanging with us. And this is a new year, and hopefully we will grow with the changes that are happening. And I might have thought that we were losing that feminine, that matriarchy, that feminine energy, but it's here. And it's here to stay, and it's getting stronger.
Yeah.
It's getting stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to close, we give you a thought from the universe. Impatience is what you feel when you think the future in hours, days, or years will be better than the present. Trust us all, it won't. So start being patient with your life, find your purpose, and come and hang out with us again on the 21st. That's when we coming back on the 21st. Now
exactly.
We can think of more stuff to talk about. We'll see y'all every week, but right now we've got to grow. Okay for bio, I'm off.
Yeah. All right.
Good night, everybody.
Okay. Good night.
Y'all take care. Stay blessed. Until the next time. Mm-hmm.